Amen. We praise God and we thank Him for His presence tonight. I thank God that we tarried and we waited on Him. Because sometimes when you're unsure of what to do, we most of the time move when we need to be still. Most of the time that's what happens. But thank you. Praise team, y'all did an awesome job. We appreciate y'all being led and willing of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes it's a minute, and y'all are willing, and I know God takes pleasure in y'all's obedience. Thank y'all. Well, praise God. We got a bunch of youth that's going to their class and all that good stuff. Praise God. Well, I guess we need to take up an offering. I almost skipped it. But I guess if I can get some ushers, are the plates up there? Yes, they are. Yeah, okay. If I can get a couple of ushers to come, we will take up an offering. Right. Will you want to bless the offering for us? Amen. Well, we don't have anybody to sing during the offering time, and I'm not going to do it. Y'all sure don't want me to do it. Maybe one day Chad will get up here and do it for me in my place. He ain't smiling, just to tell y'all. He's not. Well, we're thankful that our pastors and our young at heart got to go on this trip. You know, a lot of times this might be the only vacation that they get to go on. And so we're thankful for that. And so we're praying that, you know, now Sister Kathy and getting ready to go to Women's Convention, she gets one day of rest and she's making a turnover, and we're headed to Houston on Friday. So y'all just remember them, you know, to pray for their strength to be renewed. We're thankful for pastors that are involved with the people, that are involved with us. You know, as I was praying and asking the Lord of what He wants to do tonight, you know, I'm thankful for His word that went out. It had been going through my mind already, and then he confirmed it. And so I'm thankful for your obedience, Sister Tammy. Thank you. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice, the Lord tells us. And I think it's because it's the hardest thing to do, because we have to step out of our comfort zone of the things we're thinking and do it anyway, according to what He's telling us. And it doesn't always line up with what we think or what we want. And so I thank God for that tonight. So we'll get started out with prayer, and I'll just deliver what He gave me. Father, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for showing up, Lord God. You're faithful to show up if we're faithful to show up. And Lord God, even when we can't be, Lord, You still don't forsake us, and we say thank You for that. Lord, I ask that You would just put a guard up over my mouth, over my mind, to be still, Lord, and to speak only what You give me, to rightly divide Your word of truth, Lord, for it to come forth, Lord, in practical ways to give us understanding, Lord God, that it would give us insight to walk it and live it every single day, Lord, to bring glory to You in our own lives, but to those around us, Father, and we give You thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You know, there's a lot of people who are in some dark, hard places right now. We know that it's part of life, but it doesn't make it easier just because we know that. When we experience it, we feel it, you know, and it reminded me of Joseph. You know, Joseph had some promises. How many of us, has God's give us promises? So the ones who didn't raise your hand, God's not ever given you a promise? Raise your hand if God's given you a promise. God's given us all some promises. And, you know, some of them we may have seen come to pass, but some of them we have not. And some of them we even wonder if He's forgotten about. Maybe we've forgotten about them. Because sometimes we can. In the struggle, in the circumstance change, it didn't work out the way I thought it would or should have. You know, sometimes we just sort of discard them. But God does not. If He spoke to us, then we can be sure. You know how I know? Because he has creative power. He spoke the world into being. He speaks what he wants to come about, and he doesn't speak it for no reason. So if he speaks it, he created it. And guess what? You just haven't met up with it in that space of time yet. So you can know if he gave you a word, a promise in his book, in the Bible, or he has spoken it to you and confirmed it to your spirit of what he's already revealed, then you need to remember it, because he still plans on doing it, just like he did for Joseph. I'm going to read this verse, and it just come alive to me. You know, Joseph, we know the story of Joseph, where he had the dreams that God gave him, and you know, he ended up getting sold into slavery and then put in prison, and all these calamities happened. And then one day, he was sent for. In Genesis 41, verse 14, it says, "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. But first, Joseph shaved himself, changed his clothes, and made himself presentable. Then came into Pharaoh's presence." There's a few key words there that jumped out at me. First off, you know, Joseph is just living life in prison. Doesn't have anything else to look forward to, the same old everyday things. And then, what does it say? They brought, and Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they brought him out hastily. Hastily. That word means in a hurry, quickly, right then. He didn't have time to, you know, think about it or say or anything. Hastily, they just come and they got him. So first, that's the first word. Then the second word, it says, "But Joseph first shaved and changed his clothes and made himself presentable. Then he went into Pharaoh's presence." Imagine, you know, living in prison in the dungeon back, especially where he was. You know, he was probably dirty. His hair had grown out. Just some unkept things. But, you know, the next thing that Joseph prepared himself while he was already in there spiritually, his outer man may have looked like it needed some cleaning up, but his inner man didn't. It was ready when it was called hastily to come on out, you know. So he said, Joseph got ready, and he made himself presentable quickly for where he was going. And, you know, God is saying that to us. How long has he been saying that to us? It's obvious by the signs of the times, the word, the Bible coming to pass right before our eyes. But God keeps telling us to get ready. He's telling us to make ourselves presentable for the next phase of the journey that he's leading us to. You know, he's opening things up for us. We can see it. We know it. And whatever it looks like, he's saying, be prepared. You might have to change your clothes. You may have to do something on the outer part, but he's telling your inner man to be prepared. He's telling you to get ready for when you're called upon. Be ready in season and out. You know, it was just, today's Wednesday, Brother Scott, as we're leaving Sunday night, just says, "Oh, hey, can you do service Wednesday?" And I was like, "Sure, okay, yes," you know. And so I have to say, "Lord, because I put you in here every day, I've prepared my inner man. I'm going to depend on you to bring something out because it needs to. And if you don't, it's going to be really awkward up here with everybody sitting here looking at me." And I'm like, "I don't got nothing," you know. So be prepared, because God's been telling us to be prepared. And he's not talking about the outer things. He's talking about our inner man. And so I asked you the question, are you preparing? Have you been preparing? And you may say, "How do I do that?" Well, we know what the Bible tells us. We read, we worship God, you know, those things. But it's being faithful right where you're at and what he's asked you to do, whether it's little bitty things that seem unimportant or it's really big things that you could never accomplish. That's a way that we prepare, is by being faithful right where we're at and being thankful for the small things. The small things that we have in our hand, but we overlook a lot of times because we're looking at the bigger things. But he's given us everything we need. He has. Because his word tells me that he does. It may not seem to me sometimes that I may have some lack in some areas. And that's when I have to remind myself, no, God said he will provide all of my need according to his riches and glory. And so is how I look at it. Lord, I thank you. I have no lack because you provide for it. And when we can change our perception and be thankful for the small things that we already have, and then we obey him in all of his leading, no matter where we're at and no matter what it is. So when hastily, suddenly comes, we're ready. And God's going to do it. He has a plan and a purpose for every single person in this place. He's going to do it. So will you be prepared? He wants you to be prepared. He's going to do his part. He's going to show up just like he shows up for me of when I'm like, okay, here I am. Just, you're going to have to bring something out here because all I can do is with what you, I want to do with what you tell me what to do. And so, you know, and sometimes that requires that we take off, Joseph took off the old garments. We let go of some disappointments. We let go of the hardships. We let go of the bitterness. We let go of the things that set upon us our outer man. We let some of those old garments go. We let them, we have to take them off. He ain't going to strip them from us. We have to take them off and say, here, Lord, I'm going to lay these at your feet, and I'm going to change into the new things that you have for me. And that's why we tarried here tonight, because there was a shift. There was an opportunity for us to do that. And it's up to us if we take the opportunity that he offers us. And sometimes we may come down here and say, well, I didn't get anything. You did. You just hadn't realized because you're looking for an emotion. But just by you taking an act of obedience of saying, Lord, I'm going to meet you down there and I'm going to trust that you're going to meet me. And then it will progress as we keep going because God's a progression. He is a multiplying. You know, he doesn't just do one thing and that's it and it's over. No, he keeps on and on and on, and it can permeate every part of our life. And so sometimes we have to take off those old garments, the old mistakes, old attitudes that we get from them. You know, pride of being forgotten and left, and be ready to answer as Joseph did. And Joseph, this is what he answered after he made himself presentable, after he was called on hastily of being in the prison. He said, it is not in me. God, not I, will do it. So he was just prepared inwardly, right where he was in the dungeon of thinking, I don't know when I'm going to get out of here. You know, he had feelings and he had thoughts just like we do. He was human. I mean, the Bible tells us, you know, Elijah, he was a man of flesh and he had the same thoughts and the same carnal, natural desires that we have. And so we know that every man that was in this book was too. He had the same thoughts that went through his mind. And we have the thoughts that come through our mind. But it's what we do with them of where we end up staying. So, you know, and I wrote a prayer here for myself. I said, Lord, I pray that whatever that looks like for me, I've been found faithful in your sight in the preparation, in the preparing for where I'm going, in the preparing of where you're going. If you, even if you are satisfied where you are, you won't stay there because it's either we're going forward or we're going backwards. As Brother Wayne used to say, there's no neutral roles at the way it's tipped, and it ain't up. It's only going to roll backwards, you know, the path of least resistance. And so I pray that we're found faithful in the preparing, so when it's that time that we can glorify him, because it's not about us. It ain't about us at all. It's about glorifying him and the purpose that he has set forth to do. And as we were singing there at that last song, the Lord just reminded me that, you know, if there's no olives, there's no oil. If there's no grapes, then there's no juice. If there's no crushing of the outer, then the inner can't be revealed. And those things come through the pressing and through the trials and through the unknowing and the hurt and those things. And, you know, those things come. And what are we going to do with them? Are we going to allow them to prepare us? Or are we going to allow them to push us down and keep us in the pit of where Joseph came out of? You know, we all have pits in our life that we get into. We all have holes that we get in and we can't seem to get out of. But God, he will bring us out in due season. It says he God himself will come after a little while of our suffering, of our troubles, of our tribulation, and he himself will lift us up if we're faithful to him, if we're persistent in pursuing him in those areas. You know, Joseph prepared himself while he was still in the pit. He didn't wait until everything was good or everything or anything changed. And a lot of times that's what we want to do. Lord, when the kids are grown, when I get the car paid off, when I do this or when I do that and I have the extra, then I'll do those things. But that's not ever going to happen. You might get the car paid off, but guess what? You're going to go buy another one. By that time, it's taking you so long to get that one paid for, you're going to want a new one. So we're going to go get it. You know, there's always going to be something that's going to fill those places. And so what are we going to do with where we're at instead of waiting for something to change? And, you know, we sing a song sometimes. It says a part in there, I won't be shaken. I don't remember what the song is. I won't be moved, I won't be shaken or something. And, you know, one day I was singing that song, and I was in one of those places of a dark place, and I thought, Lord, I said, I would love to be able to say, I won't be shaken. I said, but I've been shaken. I've been shaken. And a lot of times we've all been shaken in those places. And so I said, Lord, the enemy has tried, and he's trying real hard to shake my faith and believing you and trusting you at your word. And I asked him, I was in worship, it was in service, and I was just talking to him, and I said, Lord, did I utterly fail you? Because my faith was shaken during that time, during that season, that it was hard and I couldn't see anything but darkness. You know, I said, did I utterly fail you? And as I kept wondering about it, you know, and I was wondering if he'd let me know, if he'd answer me. Well, you know, he did. He answered me. And I wrote it down on an envelope of what I had in my purse because I didn't want to forget it, because I knew that I would most likely go through those things again. Not maybe the same thing, but I would go through another season of drought, of hardness, of those things. And so when I asked him, did I utterly fail him, he said, it doesn't matter how many times you failed. That's not what he's looking for. That's not what he's looking at. But he's looking at how many times we keep getting back up. And that's what he said. But you kept getting up and pressing and pushing to get back to me. And that's what makes him smile. That's what makes him extend his hand of grace. That's what it makes him gladly give us the things that we ask for that we don't deserve. Is that we keep getting back up, that even though we fall down, even though it was hard, even though I may have been, all I could do was cry at times, and we all go through them, and it's okay. It is. But we don't stay there. And we don't stay there for very long. You may cry four or five times throughout the day, but you don't cry all day long. You see the difference? Might be going about your day where it's hard and you cry, release that and go on. You don't sit there in a dark corner and cry all day long, even if you end up crying throughout the day. That's all right, but you keep going and you keep pressing and you keep declaring what God says about you. Because I tell you, there's times when that's all that I've been able to do is say, Lord, this is what you said. So I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you at your word. I don't feel it. I don't see it, but it's your word, Lord. That's what Peter did when he had been toiling all night. He went back to the boat. They had been fishing all night long. They were come back and were cleaning the nets. And Jesus was watching them. He watches us. And he told them, he said, throw your nets on the right side. And Peter's like, Lord, we just got back up here. I've been doing this all night. There ain't nothing out there. I ain't catching nothing. He said, but at your word, I will. And sometimes that's what we do. Lord, at your word, I will declare what you say, because it is as what you say and not what I think and not what I feel. You know, the small foxes, the doubt, the feelings, our emotions of what we feel, they're the small things, the small foxes that just steadily just eat the fruit, the joy, the peace, the love, the righteousness, the word that God puts, he puts in our ears, but it's up to us to hide it in our heart, to hold on to it. He starts stealing a little bit here and there. He crosses boundaries. He goes for the weak places first, because that's what he does. He's not going to go for a strong, fortified city and think that he's going to overtake it. He's not. He's going to look for the little things, the things that, the darts that he already threw in our mind that already has us thinking about something. That's where he's going to start first, and that's where he goes. And then eventually he ends off breaking off a few places. But just to let you know, the enemy is not okay with just breaking off a few places. He wants to utterly destroy. You know, I read somewhere that foxes, they do, you know, they go around and they eat the berries and the grapes, the stuff off of the little tender vines. That's what they eat. But they don't stop there. They eat the whole vine. They don't just steal the fruit on the vine. They destroy the whole vine. That way there's nothing there ever, because they get roots and all. And that's what the enemy's after. He starts in the small places by throwing the darts in our mind. But you know, the word of God, the scripture that he brought to me this week, he says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint or grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint and weary, and to those who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. Even youths may fall and be weary. Young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. That's in Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. You know, where it talks about the youth shall fall and be weary and be exhausted. That's the times that we know of the struggles and the encounters that we're going to face in life. Jesus told us plainly that we're going to encounter some things. You know, the hardships, the weariness. We have a human body. We're going to get tired and we're going to get exhausted. But if we keep waiting on the Lord, if we keep looking to him, if we keep hoping in him, expecting him, throughout this word it tells us to expect him to do what he says. Expect him to answer us if we're asking. And I looked at Chad one day this week. I said, you know, the last few weeks have been rough. Like chaos, the enemy's just been on the warpath with a lot of different people, and we've all been experiencing. Don't think you're the only one. We've all been experiencing it. And I said, you know what? I said, we're right in the middle of answered prayers. We are right where we prayed to be a year ago, 2 years ago. Can we not look around and see where we are today of what we prayed then? Yes, we can. So I thank God for where we are, because it just shows me that we're progressing, that we're moving forward from prayers prayed back then, whether it be yesterday, Don't think he don't move that quick. He does. But if it's the one that you prayed 10 years ago, we're sitting right in the middle of those. And for us not to think, I said, I really don't understand my own thinking sometimes, to think that because when we hear the word promise or we hear the word blessing, we think it's going to be with an ease and it's going to be beautiful and it's just going to be smooth. But that ain't true. That's not true. You know, when you sow, it's work. What happens when the harvest comes? It's work. You sowed the ground. I mean, you plowed the ground. You sowed the seed. You had to water it, tend it, pull the weeds, watch it. And then when it starts producing, you got to go pick it. So I said, Lord, help me. Change my perception on about these things that I'm thinking about. And then once he has done that, it has enabled me to say, this is just a thing and it will pass. We're right in the middle of prayers prayed back then, and we're receiving it right now. It just didn't look how we thought it would. But one day, we're going to come to the completion of some things, and we have come to some completion of things, and we've gone on to others. But we will receive if we faint not. You know why? Because it's written. It's written. We shall receive if we faint not. He doesn't say that, you know, we're not going to feel these things. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. It doesn't say that we won't see it forming. It doesn't say that, you know, what we see causes us to have a stirring of emotions. So I may see the weapons formed, and they may be all around me, but it won't prosper. But it doesn't say that I'm not going to feel the emotions that they stir by my eyes seeing it. Because that's what causes us to get moved, is by what we see, by what we hear, and by what we feel. But it doesn't change the word of God. It doesn't change what he says at all. It changes my mind by my feelings. And so I've learned in these times, I have nobody where I don't want y'all to ever think that I think I've arrived, because I have not, and I never will. But I can thank God for him changing my perception to be able to see some things clearly now, of where now I don't feel that I'm always disappointed. Have y'all ever felt that? That you're always disappointed? But it's most of the time because of how we're looking at it and the expectations that we have concerning it. It's our own opinion of it, of how we want it to be. And you know, those are the details that God keeps to himself most of the time. Because he knows that we'll try to change them. We'll try to wiggle them around to get really truly of what we think we need. You know, the house we live in, we've been there for 10 years this year. And there are certain things that I had in my heart that I wanted that we didn't have at our old place, you know, on the property and stuff. And there's every one of those things are there. And I'm so thankful that I didn't see it at first because I was too busy looking at what I didn't like to see what was there all along that I had wanted. So once I started having the Lord helping me to have a perception change about what is in my hand and not looking at the things that I didn't really care for, then I was able to receive the goodness and the blessings of the Lord that he had given me my heart's desire. They were just clouding. My view was clouded by some other things. And so a lot of times, you know, the word tells us that a calm and undisturbed heart and mind are life and health to the body. Sometimes when we're experiencing some sickness and disease and just it's stress, it's because our mind is in chaos. There's things that are coming against us, but they're mainly in our mind. It's really not even in the physical, but it has a physical effect. So once I've started learning the small foxes and recognizing them for myself, then I can use those things to run them off, but and be in preparation all at the same time, right where I'm at. Even though I see and experience the emotions of these things, I can still be preparing for where God said he's taking me. And I tell you what, once we really believe God of what he says to us, there's no way I wouldn't want to be reading this and doing what he said, because I would not want to walk into some things of what he's told me without him, without me being prepared, because it's the only way that it's going to cause him to have glory and for people's lives to be changed. You know, all I can do is deliver the message, the words that he says to give me. The rest is up to the hearers. It's not up to me. And so all I can do is be faithful. All you can do is be faithful to what God's put in your hand. He doesn't ask you for things that he hadn't already provided. It may be tough sometimes, and you may think, well, that's all I got. He said, I know. But if you'll be faithful with what you got in your hand, if I ask for it or for you to do it, then you can be sure that I'm not going to leave you empty-handed. And it'll be better than what we could have done with it had we held on to it or we didn't do it. Because that's just who he is and how he operates. So I encourage y'all tonight to ask the Lord to show you some ways. But don't ask him if you don't want to do it. Don't ask him if you really don't intend on obeying him. Because then once you know and you disobey, it's sin. And sin separates us from God. And so if you want the closer walk, don't be surprised by the fiery trials that you're enduring or the things that are trying to, you know, I heard a minister preaching one time that says, the devil ain't after your stuff. He don't want your stuff. He's going to give you more stuff than what you could know what to do with to keep you so busy that you don't have time for God. He don't want your stuff. He'll use your stuff. That's right. And so, you know, it's all in the way of what we look at it. And so I pray tonight that God will change our perception on some things, and he knows us. He knows right where we're at. And it doesn't mean we're bad or we have no faith. It doesn't. It just means, okay, are you ready? Are you ready to hear me, and are you ready to obey? And the rest is up to him. He don't even put the pressure on us that we got to do it, because he does it by his Spirit. And I'm so thankful for that, because if that wasn't true, I would not be up here. I would not be up here at all, because you can't imagine how intimidating and how the enemy will try to throw every insecurity you've ever had at you when you're standing in front of a group of people and they're all looking at you. But the Lord has given me peace. It doesn't matter, because it's not up to me about what you do with what he tells me to say to you. It's up to you. And it's between you and him, not me. And so I don't walk out of here with the weight of it on me, because I can't. It would crush me and it would cause me to fail, because I'd be trying to do it in my own strength, and I can't. So I encourage you to do the same things in your life. You do what God tells you to do. He'll give you details if he wants you to do something detailed. He'll let you in on some of those things. But then the rest is up to them and him. And when we can understand those things, it will give you such a freedom that you say, okay, Lord, I'm willing, send me. Because I'm not responsible for anybody else of what they do with what you say. It's not up to me. And so when we can come into that understanding that it's not up to me, it's not up to us to make people change, it's not up to us to enforce some things, we are to seek God, pray, and obey. And the rest is not up to us. So I encourage y'all to do that. And I pray that y'all come into such a freedom that you have never experienced before with him when you do that. Will it be easy? No. Because it's going to be bigger than you. And he gives us that task and things to do that are bigger than us. That way we can't take credit for it. That it can only be done by him and through him and for him. And that's the purpose that we have. So, okay, I'm done. I love y'all. Y'all, Tammy?
Can I testify?
Yes, you can.
I love the Lord, and I praise him for all he does for me. You know,
Same spirit. Yes.
Good.
That was him. That was him. That's right. Yes, praise God. That's right. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And you obeyed. He gave you opportunity. You know, and that's a hard thing, to be in somewhere else and to worship freely. That's part of obedience, of worshiping him, when we know that he's in that place because he's worthy to be worshiped. Well, praise God. Well, if y'all stand, we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you so much for meeting with us here tonight by your Holy Spirit, Father. We thank you, Lord, for what you have spoken, Lord, and we pray, God, that we would take it, Lord, that we would not be a forgetful hearer, Lord, but a quick hearer and believer of your word, Lord, and to put it into action. Lord God, as you give us direction, Lord, help us to be courageous, Lord, to have courage, even when we're fearful, Lord. Lord, to do what you ask us to do, because, Lord, it's up to you. It's in your power. It's in your strength, Lord, that these things are done and not us. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless these people, Lord, that they would get home safely, Lord, and have a good night's rest. Wake up tomorrow morning, Lord, ready to do the things, Lord God, that you have purposed for them. And we give you thanks and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.